Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day today. Sometimes God allows things that we cannot understand. We don't have the capacity to understand some of the things that God allows. You know, we've been looking at the early servants of Christ and the church, and we saw that God let Steve get killed for his faith. First martyr. And he transformed Phil from a deacon to an evangelist. How do we understand that? He didn't send him to seminary. He took him and he used him. He was a common guy that was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He was used to serve the people. He was given the message to deliver to others. We can't understand that. God does that. God used the other five original deacons to spread the gospel, but then he allowed most of them to get killed. What? Seriously? And then he let one of those guys get credit for starting a heretical doctrine, which Jesus said he hates. How does God let that happen? He took a murderous man and turned him into the greatest evangelist ever. That was God. If he could take Saul, the murderer, the Christian killer, and turn him into an evangelist, he can take any of you or me and use us to his glory. I'm testimony of that too, by the way. In this message, we're going to continue to look at those early servants, and we're going to turn our attention to a faithful female disciple named Tabitha. Tabitha. God allowed her to get sick and die. But the other disciples who were there, they refused to accept that as the final diagnosis. Oh, yeah, she was dead. She was really dead. Okay? And we're going to get to see what they did. Sometimes faith has us look beyond what we see to what can be. Sometimes we have to actually focus our attention on something other than what's right in front of us. That's an act of faith. And these people had that kind of faith. They sent for Peter. He was in a nearby town. They sent for him. He came. And then we'll tell you the rest of the story as we go forward. So open your Bible now, if you will, to Acts chapter 9. We're going to begin at verse 36. You'll find that on page 740 of the Pew Bible. Acts chapter 9. And again, that's page 740, I believe, in the Pew Bible. We're going to begin at verse 36. And we are going to read down to the end of the chapter. And I want you to hear this account. It's not a story. It is a real account of what happened. Okay? This isn't something that's made up. It's not a parable. It's not somebody's imagination. This really took place. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he, Peter, stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. I ask that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Here we have this account that begins by telling us of this certain disciple. And that certain disciple phrase means a particular disciple, but it can also mean she was certainly a disciple. She wasn't a halfway disciple. She was a full disciple. She was a real believer. She was actively engaged in living her faith. the biblical town of Joppa is where she lived. And this was near the other town where Peter was visiting. Anyway, this town of Joppa today is known as Jaffa. And it was the main port of the coast in Israel at that time, but it has since been taken over by two other ports that they built. The modern city of Tel Aviv now encompasses the ancient city of Joppa. So you get some kind of a picture in your mind if you hear about Tel Aviv on the news and such. A certain disciple named Tabitha was known for her good works. She was known for her good works. And her works are shared as proof of her being a true disciple. You know, I've often asked the congregation, as I've been preaching at different times, if you were arrested for your faith, would there be enough evidence to prove the case against you? You know, we have to ask ourselves that. If we were in Joppa, and something happened to us, is somebody going to say, well, they were known for their good works? It's a valid question when you look at the text. James tells us that faith without works is dead. And he tells us that twice. And then in Hebrews it's written, for without faith it's impossible to please him, to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we know that this Tabitha, or Tabby if you will, was known for her good works. She was known for her faith. But then she became sick and she died. Now, I had to think about that, you know, because she was a true disciple. She was doing good work. It's not like she was just sitting around all day. She was actually actively engaged in ministry. She was ministering to the poor. She was ministering to those in need, including the widows. So why would Almighty God allow her to get sick and die? I think that's a good question, too. After all, she was a benefit to building Christ's kingdom. She was actively engaged in working the gospel. She was a benefit, and she was a good example to others. But you know, I thought about that, and I thought about what's written in Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord. God doesn't grieve over our death when we are his saints. So anyway, back to Tabitha. The disciples there washed her body in preparation for burial, and they laid her in an upper room. So it was sort of like a funeral parlor, you know, it was in a house. They laid her out. And undoubtedly there were people there, and a lot of times, or maybe mostly at that time, the widows would gather together whenever there was a funeral and they would weep. They would cry. They would wail, some passages of Scripture tell us, because of the grief of losing somebody. And these disciples, then, they had heard that Peter was in this town of Lydda, so they sent a couple of guys over there to get him. Peter comes back. The widows show him the clothes and the coats and such that she made for them. And I have to say, I believe they knew Peter had the power that they didn't possess. He had the power to raise people from the dead. He was known for doing miracles. But they obviously didn't have that kind of power. They knew they didn't have it because they wouldn't have sent for Peter if they did. They would have just done it themselves. They would have prayed. They would have laid hands on her body. They would have raised her from the dead. But for some reason, they knew they didn't have what Peter had. So they sent for Peter. And then Peter went with them, got there, took them to the room. And Peter put them all out of the room. He knelt down and he prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. Bing! Her eyes opened up. Okay? I don't know about you folks, but that would kind of astonish me. If I prayed for somebody and their eyes popped open and they looked at me, all right? I'm guessing I'd probably think about that a little bit, all right? She opened her eyes when she saw Peter. She sat up. She sat up. And the prayer of faith that's written in James chapter 5, verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. I think we need to be praying people. We need to be so immersed in the Holy Spirit that He can take us and use us. And He can heal and He can touch and He can renew and revive and re-energize people. But the bigger picture is that we know Christ does bring us back to life after death. Not always in the physical. But at some point in time, when He returns, we are all going to be alive. We're going to have glorified bodies and we will never die again. And I think there's an illusion here. There's a picture. It draws our attention to that. Because we know not everybody, not every saint that dies in this life is brought back to a physical life. But we also know that we are all promised everlasting life. Okay? Anyway, Pete lifts her up by the hand, presents her alive to the others. Now, I'm guessing they were pretty astonished, all right? She's dead. They prepared her for burial, all right? And their burial thing wasn't like us where they filled them up with the, a formaldehyde and all that. They didn't drain the blood. She was just laying there, washed and prepared. And if any of you have ever been present when a loved one has died, that's the first thing they do is wash the body. So they had her prepared. She's ready. They're ready to put her in the ground, but let's go get Peter first. And I believe the idea here is that this miraculous turn of events, this turn of events became known all through Joppa. I think that's the point. I think God wanted to get the word out, and what better way than to have a miracle of somebody coming back from the dead? Many believed because this faithful woman died and was brought back to life. Now think about Jesus. Jesus died, and He came back to life. This is the miracle. It's the miracle of the resurrection that brings us new life, not just in the physical, but in the spiritual. We are all raised to new life. We were dead in sin and trespasses. And by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection, through His blood, we have been given new life, spiritual life. I believe that's the bigger picture there. And then there's Tabby. She had a powerful testimony for the rest of her life. Are you the one that died and Pete brought you back? Oh, yeah, that was me. There were people who probably wanted to come to know Jesus because they heard that testimony. It says that there many came to the Lord because of that. Our Creator brings each of us to life, and each one of us needs to tell others. That's what Jesus says, anyway. He tells us we need to share our faith. We need to go into all the world. Preaching the gospel, teaching them everything He taught, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The early servant called Tabitha, or Tabby, she's known for all time because of her good works. She's known forever. She's immortalized in this passage of Scripture. And it's a real easy one to just read over. When you're reading through the Bible and you go through the book of Acts and you come across this little story, well, that's nice. Yeah, He brought her back to life. Okay, next. But there's something more here. You know, every Scripture is for our profit. It is for doctrine. It's for reproof. It's for rebuking. It's for teaching us. The widows didn't have pensions or Social Security payments. They relied on the goodness of others to meet their needs. And the widows showed Pete that clothing that Tabby had made for them. She was helping to take care of the widows. That was one of the primary needs of that time, just like it is today. But you know what? They didn't have big box stores. They weren't going to Costco. They weren't going to Walmart. They weren't going to Kmart, which, by the way, is closing these days. They weren't going to the Goodwill or the Salvation Army. They didn't have secondhand shops to go to. They had to create their clothing. They had to make it, and they had to have material to make it with. They had to use deliberate, determined effort to produce clothing. And the widows needed help. And here's this Tabby. She's helping them. She did what needed to be done for the widows. And you know, there's 51 passages of Scripture that contains the word widows. I'm not going to read them all to you, but I'm going to give you some key points. The first time that we hear God's command regarding widows is found in Exodus chapter 22, verse 22. You shall not afflict mistreat or take advantage of widows. You remember, that was the cause that made the seven guys get picked as deacons in the first place. Because the widows, the Hellenist widows, they weren't being taken care of. And so this was a primary concern in the early church. It was a primary concern all through Scripture. And if you read those 51 passages, you see not all of them are commands from God, but many of them are. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, we hear that God's people are instructed to take care of the ministers, the poor, the orphans, the widows, and the foreigners. The ministers at that time were the Levites. They were poor. They didn't have riches. The orphans, you know, those whose parents had died. Now, how many of us here's parents are still alive? It's a few. But, you know, the rest of us, we're orphans. Our parents are gone. Now, am I a helpless orphan? No. Do I need to be taken care of because of that? No. But when we have children who are without parents, it is our duty to take care of them. Just like the widows who don't have family members, it's our duty to take care of them. And Tabby did. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 18, we hear the Lord defends the rights of orphans and widows, and so should we, because it's right in His sight. You know, it goes on to say in Deuteronomy 14 that if they have enough to eat, Almighty God would be pleased and make you successful in everyday life. Take care of the widows, God takes care of you. Don't take care of the widows, you do that at your own hazard there. Tabby must have understood that. In Deuteronomy 27, we learn that not taking care of the poor and the orphans and widows is something that is cursed, along with some other heinous things, which I will not mention because we have children here, but there are some really heinous things. If you get to wanting to read that, it's Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 14 through 26. Go see what God lumps together widows with. Look at what God lumps the widows, not taking care of widows with, okay? Some pretty bad stuff. Serious. It's serious to God. This is a serious issue. Tabby was taking care of the widows. So then we look at, okay, God let her get sick and die, okay? She was doing something that was really important to God. And then when He brings her back, that amplified the work that she was able to do. I believe she probably had all the material she needed. She probably was given donations. She's helping the poor, and they're going to help her. That's my guess. It's not written there, but I'm guessing. She went on to continue her ministry until her natural life was over, because the people joined together and assisted her because God brought her back to life to continue that ministry. You look at this passage, you can see she obviously got it. She understood the importance of taking those people who had needs and helping them. And so should we. We really should, folks. We have people that have needs, and I thank God we've got a caring and sharing fund here that we can put together a little bit of something to help people with. We were able to collect clothing and send it down to Butler for the people who were victims of the flood this week. We had like 8 boxes of clothes. I praise God. We were able to help. We're not in Butler. But does God say, well, only if they're in your town? He say, take care of the people that are near you? Or does He take care of the people? He doesn't put a limit on how far you're to go, okay? He doesn't put up a limit on who you should reach. So I praise God we were able to help. And I only throw that in there to let you know we're doing what we can as far as a church is concerned. In Job chapter 24, verse 21, it tells us sinners take advantage of widows and other helpless women. Sinners take advantage. Now, remember who Jesus criticized for robbing the widows? The religious leaders at that time. He was criticizing the religious leaders who were taking advantage of the widows. Now, I want you to think about those TV preachers who prey upon the poor and the widows. Do you think they're going to escape God's wrath? No. No, because they're doing something really bad in God's eyes. They're not going to escape His judgment. Tabby was highly praised for generosity to widows and others in need. And I have to ask, are we? Are we doing what we can do? Are we? And it's not to bring an indictment on us. I just want us to think about it. Are we doing what we can do to help people who are in need? I think through some of the activities that we're involved in as a church, we are. But I think somehow, in some ways, we can do more. And I think the body of Christ at large needs to do more. I think the body of Christ needs to come together. I think we need to work together because we are at war, folks. The enemy of souls is tearing people out of this life and taking them into eternity. And we need to stand together, united, to fight against that. It's our duty. You know, I think that we need the miraculous power of God today to revive the dead. And I'm not just talking about the physically dead, although I do believe that God can do that. I'm talking about the spiritually dead. I'm talking about the people that are not doing what they could be doing. The disciples who are without life today. There's so many that are laid out in an upper room, imaginary upper room somewhere, waiting to be buried or raptured. They don't want to do anything. The body of Christ needs to be an active body. It needs to be alive. I pray that God would reinvigorate us, that He would bring us His breath, His Spirit, to reanimate us. We need the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to bring us back to life. We need to be an alive body, not a dead body. And I'm not just talking about us here, folks. I'm talking about the body of Christ all over the world. So much of the body that's sleeping, and they're so comfortable they don't need the comforter anymore. And I've said that many times before. Are we willing to be like Tabby, who's known for helping others? I know I am, and I know many of you that I'm involved with are. Are you willing to follow the command of Jesus to provide food and drink and clothes and comfort to others when they're sick or in prison? We need to be. I seriously doubt that Tabby did what she did to get attention or praise. You know, the Scripture tells us, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. The account in that biblical record is there for us to learn from. Tabby was a worker, an unsung hero, like so many others who probably never, we won't ever get to read of them anywhere except when we get to the other side of eternity and we get to meet them. There are many people who have worked throughout the centuries of God's kingdom here on earth who we don't know about. People who have been martyred that we don't know about. Countless number of people that have given their lives for the furthering of the gospel. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, it's written, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what's written there about Tabby was inspired by God. And it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching. For reproof, hey, you're not getting things right. For correction, that's a little further, a little deeper on the you're not getting it right thing. For instruction in righteousness, that those of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's so many people that say, we don't need to do any works. We don't need to do anything. We're saved by grace. They're absolutely right. We are saved by grace. And then they forget that other part, unto good works. We're saved by God's grace unto doing good works, unto being like Tabby, taking care of other people. People of God can learn from all Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 3, it's written, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. In other words, when you hear the Word of God, accept it. Don't reject it. Don't turn a blind eye to it or a deaf ear to it. Listen. Allow it to come into you. Allow God to use it within you. As Connie was saying this morning, let the Word guide you. Let it take a hold of you. Let it be what moves you and motivates you to do what it is that God wants you to do. And I can say, like it's written in Acts chapter 20, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I know my hands are clean, folks, because I bring the Word to you. I'm not giving you a flowery story, and you've heard me say that many times before. I don't have flowery stories. I can tell you what God's Word says, and I can tell you what His Word says about what His Word says, so that we can get an accurate comprehension of what it is that God wants for us in our lives as we work for Him. But I can't tell you too many flowery stories. God hasn't given them to me. We can learn from His Word, though. And, you know, sometimes the things we have to learn are not pleasant. Like, sometimes God lets His people get sick. Sometimes he lets them die. That's not pleasant. I know that. But it's the truth. And I have to tell you the truth. I can't make it like, well, no, you know, because Jesus loves you, you're going to live forever here and now. That's not God's word. I haven't shunned to declare you the counsel of God. I have to tell you the truth. You know, and sometimes people die, and it's not because of their sin. It's not because they did something wrong. Sometimes it's because that's the way God's going to get glory, just like he did out of Tabby. Sometimes it's because God gets that pleasure, because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Sometimes he just wants to bring you home. Sometimes it's just time. You might think your work's not done, but sometimes to God, it is. He's ready to bring you back. He's got you as polished up as you're going to be. He's going to bring you home, shined up. In Philippians chapter 1, it's written, Christ shall be magnified in our body, whether it be by life or by death. And he goes on to say, for us to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was Paul who was speaking. He knew he was going to die, and he was saying, it doesn't matter if I live or die. Either way, God's going to get glory. Either way. And then it's written in John chapter 5, that Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Hear the word of the Lord. That's not my word. Tabby wasn't the only one raised from the dead, folks. You know, Elijah, he raised a widow's son from the dead. That's written in 1 Kings. Elisha, he raised a woman's son from the dead, and that's written in 2 Kings. A guy whose body touched Elisha's bones came back to life. That's written in 2 Kings. Jesus raised a widow's son from dead, and that's written in Luke chapter 7. He also raised the temple ruler's daughter from the dead. That's written in Luke chapter 8. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That's written in John chapter 11. Do you think all of those risings from the dead are just coincidences? Do you think that there's not something to that? As we look at Pete raising Tabby from the dead, what do we have to say? Well, it was a miracle. It was a one-time event. No. God was going to get glory out of this. And Jesus himself rose from the dead. There were a lot of saints that rose from the dead after Jesus rose. That's written in Matthew. Paul raised a guy from the dead, and that's written in Acts chapter 20. Paul was most likely himself brought back after being stoned to death. He was dead enough for them to throw him outside, toss his body out of town. They thought he was dead. But then he's up and he's about and he's going about the evangelistic work that he was doing. Now, I don't know about you, but if I get stoned to near death even, I doubt that I'm going to be up the next day off and trotting down the road preaching the gospel, okay? I just don't know. Maybe I will. By some miracle of God, if I get beat down with stones, he'll pick me back up and get me back on the road so that I can be out there preaching his word. I sure hope so. But if not, come Lord Jesus, take me home. Woo! The dead in Christ will be raised from the dead to rule with him. Had a great conversation last night at Rock Falls Park. I was talking with a man out there, and he was talking about Revelation chapter 12. We had a really good conversation. We were talking about Christ returning and people serving with him and the thousand-year millennial. And I said, wow, that's just beautiful to think. When you think about it, none of us ever really die if we're in Christ. We live forever, and we get to rule with him. We will reign with him. We will serve with him. We will do what he wants us to do because we love him for his sacrifice. Because he saved us. Living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he carried our sins far away. Woo! Praise God. You know? And you know, I didn't look Let me tell you how I found that hymn, all right? I said, Lord, I need a couple of hymns for Sunday. This is what I did. And there it was, number 103, okay? I couldn't find it again when I went looking for it, okay? I could not find it again. I'm not kidding you. God pulled that hymn up for me. And it fit so perfectly with the message. As I wrap this up, I want you to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to you today. Let us be those who walk with the Lord. Let's walk in the footsteps of Jesus, knowing that it's written, we too one day shall die. It's appointed once for us to die. And after this, the judgment. Remember also that we'll be brought back to new everlasting life in glorified bodies. Don't let that idea of leaving this life terrify you or frighten you or something. The Lord tells us, be not afraid. Let's bring everlasting showers of blessing upon those thirsty, dry souls. Let's bring the Word of God to bear upon them. Let us pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Let's share God's love and promise of eternal life to everybody who needs it. Let's do it in words and in actions. Let's be like Tabby. Let's help those people that are in need. Let's be His followers who bring reviving to souls that are in danger. Let us beg Almighty God to use us. Let's ask Him to use us to bring refreshing to the souls in need, regardless of what the cause of their need is. And you know, there's a lot of people that are suffering right now. And we know it, folks. Just think of this epidemic of drugs that's a scourge upon this land, even in these little communities that we live in. Think about that. There are people that are in need. What are we going to say when we get before Jesus? Well, you know, I didn't think about that, Jesus. You said if you fed them when they were hungry and you clothed them when they were naked and you visited them when they were sick or in prison, but you didn't say anything about when they became drug addicts or we were supposed to do something to help them. Well, let me tell you, okay, that's a short list that He gave us. He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to Him, whatever it is. You serve for Him, you're serving Him. And that's what we need to be, like Tabby. Did Jesus say, well, when you made them coats and cloaks, when you made them clothes? No. Oh, when you clothed me, yeah, He said, when you clothed me when I was naked. So you could fit that one in there, right? Well, isn't it true that people who become addicted are locked in that addiction until they're freed from it? Do we as a church not have the opportunity and perhaps a duty to pray for them? To pray that God will free them from that addiction. Jesus came to set the captives free, no? And are we not His ambassadors to be taking His message of freedom out into the communities? I believe we are. His Word says we are. I believe we need to be doing that. This is why we're doing this event here in Chicora. It's only in Chicora because this was the first time Pastor Mark Wallace at the Community Alliance Church and I just figured we need to do something. We put our heads together and we said, look, let's get the churches together. Let's do something about this. Let's educate people on the need for prevention. Let's talk about the things that are happening. Let's show people what the signs of addiction are so they can catch it early. Let's also give them hope. Hope that maybe their loved one can come out of this addiction. I know people personally who are clean and have gotten out and they're no longer using and they're not stuck on any other kind of methadone or suboxone or anything else like that. They are clean because God took them and strengthened them against that addiction, and we can be His people who can help that to happen. I really believe that. If I didn't, I wouldn't put so much time into it. I'm trusting that God is going to help His people to do His work just as He helped Tabby to do it. At that time, there were widows that needed clothes and coats. In our time, the widows don't need clothes and coats, folks. There might be some, but if there is such a case, it's rare. What we do see the need for, though, is for us to participate in some way, shape, or form in helping people who are caught in addiction, who are trapped, that we can give them hope. Because there's a way out, folks, and I've seen it for some people, not for everybody. Some people don't choose it. And I believe the first step is to get them Jesus Christ. truly bring Jesus Christ to bear upon their lives. And then, on top of that, show them that there's a way out. Show them that there's hope. I can't tell you how many people have told me they're just waiting for the day when they get that call. And they've got to have a funeral. They've got to have a burial. They've lost hope. You folks know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I felt that same despair myself. I want to bring people hope. I want to show them the hope of Jesus Christ. There's a way out. And His name is Jesus. And we need to bring Him to them. Somehow, some way. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Let's be His followers who bring reviving to those souls that are in danger. And what are they in danger of? Hellfire. Let's beg Almighty God to use us to bring refreshing to those souls in need. Let us help those that God commands His people to help. The people in need. Let us meet the needs of people wherever they are as we draw them out of the place of sin into His marvelous win. We win with Him. Read the end of the book. Open up your Bible and read the end, okay? We win. We get to live forever, and we can draw other souls out of that danger that they're in and bring them into that marvelous win. Let's trust Him in all things. Let's trust Him in all things, even when we see believers get sick and die. Because in the end, they, like Tabby, believers, will be raised to new life. Let's not become despondent. Let's not see that as the final diagnosis. Let's look to Christ and see that everlasting life. And with that, I say amen. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father. You are our God. You are our Father. We ask, Lord God, that You would seat Your truth in our hearts, Father. I thank You for taking me and using me to Your glory. I trust, Lord, that You will help me to continue to search for Your truth and Your Word, guided by Your Spirit. And that as I do this, Lord, each one of these souls that receive the message, whether here in this building or whether it be on a CD, Lord, and a radio or on an internet connection somewhere, Lord, that Your message of truth would be buried deep in their souls and they would want nothing more than to be like Tabby, who's known for her good works, known for her faith. Help us, Father, to remember that, like Tabby, we will all be raised to new life in Christ. I pray this in His mighty and matchless name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now let us open our hymnals to number 349, and we will sing, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." Number 349.